The love of the Father is demonstrated by the love of the church. Join Jeremy Pearson today as he illustrates how the love that we show to others is a direct reflection of God's love in us. Let God's love show through you and walk in His blessing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and it's my joy to be with you today, wherever you are watching this. If you're in your home, in your office, in a doctor's office, in your car, listening to it on a run, wherever you are, I'm just so thrilled and thankful that you took the time to put the Word of God first place, and it will produce good results in your life. Anytime you honor His Word, He can then honor you. He can honor you with the manifestation of Jesus in your life. That's healing. That's abundance. That's provision. That's joy. That's peace. That's God honoring you when you put His Word first place. Father, today in Jesus' name, we put Your Word first. We look to Your Word, and we have eyes that see Jesus in Your Word, ears that hear His voice in Your Word, hearts that understand who we are in Him, who He is in us. We thank You for it, and we give You praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we began on Monday of this week looking at the universe-changing power of kindness, something that we've just barely tapped into. And I think our enemy has done a good job of keeping our understanding of kindness and the power of it so small in our thinking. But this is such a huge part of who God is and what God does and how God operates. And as long as we stay small in our understanding, then we see small results. But Proverbs chapter 3 has been our foundation scripture the whole time. Verse 3 in the New Living Translation says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God and with men." That's what this whole week has been about. It's been about unlocking the favor of God in your life, unlocking favor with other people in your life. But you know something? You cannot expect to have favor with people by being a jerk to them. I know that sounds so simple, and it is, but yet it eludes us. Why do we think, why are we confused, and why do we wonder why people don't do more for us? It might be because we're mean. It might be because we haven't learned how to soften our words, how to say things that minister grace to the hearer. This is a key. This is a master key. It is the master's key. The overflow of kindness in your life is what's going to draw people to you. I know that's what I need in my life. As a minister, my wife and I in this ministry, that's what we need. Man, we want to preach the gospel, but we need people to be affected by it. We need people drawn to this ministry to hear the word. We need partners drawn to this ministry. We need partners that are preaching the gospel and people being drawn to them. That's what we need. That's what you need. That's what the body of Christ at large needs. Pastors, this is what your church needs. You need a manifestation and an overflow of kindness in your church. Watch what happens. This is drawing power. You look at the people that were drawn to Jesus in His ministry. You look at every time a house was filled. You look at every time a synagogue was filled. You look at every time that 10,000 people filled the hills of the desert. That's kindness that drew them there. That's kindness that drew them to Him. The Word says, God said through the prophet Jeremiah, "I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you." Pastors, what you need in your churches is a manifestation of kindness. And whatever you do to get people into your church, you're going to have to do that to keep them there. So whatever marketing plan you've come up with, and I'm not against marketing, but whatever thing you've schemed and you've come up with to get the people in the church, that's fine as long as you know you're going to have to do that and then up it to try to keep them there. I know I got a flyer one time in the mail from a local church that was giving away a cruise. They were giving away a cruise for two for come as a new time, a first time visitor and enter your name into a drawing for a cruise. Hey, man, that's cool. Give away a cruise. Give away the boat. I think it's great. As long as you know you're going to have to sustain that kind of thing to keep people there. And I could just see somebody years down the road say, man, this church used to be cool. They're only giving away 2 cruises this year. Man, what happened to this place? But if you'll depend on the overflow of kindness, filling up on how kind God has been to you. That's why the psalmist said, oh Lord, we have thought on your kindness in your assembly, in your synagogue. That's in this church, in your church, pastors. Take some time and just give God glory for his kindness and let his kindness be what draws the people. His kindness in you, filling up in you, overflowing out of you, you're going to find you really don't need as much of a marketing plan as you think. This is what Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22 says. I'll read it to you from several translations. The New King James says, what is desired in a man is kindness. Listen to that. What is desired in a man is kindness. In the New Living Translation, it says loyalty. Isn't it interesting that it translates kindness and loyalty? We've already seen that in Proverbs 3. It says loyalty or kindness makes a person attractive. Jesus was attractive to these people. Your church will be attractive to people if there's a manifestation and an overflow of the kindness of God in it. Now, the reason we don't see more of this, we've established this earlier in this week, but it's because kindness is a risk. And for some people, it's just too big a risk. They feel that if I'm kind to you, even though you've treated me a certain way, even though you've done me wrong, if I choose to be kind to you instead of getting even, instead of giving you a piece of my mind, instead of overflowing with what I think, if I choose kindness, then I'm going to give you the impression that I'm a pushover and you can do whatever you want to me. And the truth is, yep, that's the risk you take. There is a risk involved in this. But it's like we said earlier in this week, God knows this risk all too well. He went out on this limb when he gave you liberty. See, the old rule was, you miss it, you pay for it. That was black and white. It was easy. There was no wondering about that. And people just lived with that. They lived with the fear of that all their lifetime, subject to the fear of death. Why? Because the law said to do it. We know the law said do it, but we don't have any power to do it. Then God goes out on this limb and says, I'm going to extend to you mercy. I'm going to extend to you grace. And I'm going to extend to you my covenant kindness. What a risk. What a risk. But I believe God has more faith in the power of kindness to draw you to Him than He did in the power of sin to pull you away. Isn't that good? To know that His kindness towards you is more powerful than any addiction to any sin? Glory to God. Thank God for this. And it's this kindness that makes a person attractive. Now, if you start walking in this in your church and you start walking in kindness towards people that the rest of the church has already bailed on and already just thrown off the table, if you start walking in kindness towards people that the rest of the church world hates, and they hate them in the name of some sort of stand for righteousness, and you choose kindness, then you're taking a risk. You're going out on a limb. The risk that you're taking is that people will look at that and say, oh, wow, you've gone soft on sin. You're siding with people. But listen, get out there on that limb and watch the kindness of God draw people to your congregation. Watch the kindness of God draw people into your home and then watch His kindness change them. Watch His kindness go to work on that sin, go to work on that addiction. It's not you preaching death. It's not you preaching condemnation. It's you showing kindness. And in that kindness, Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. So there was no question about it. He called sin, sin. But for the first time, the command to go and sin no more came with the power to do it. And that same power will be in your message. That same power will be in the message you preach, in the sermon you deliver, in the life that you live. Amen. Kindness makes a person attractive. I want to now begin to take a turn in our study in this. We've been filling up for days now on the kindness of God, His kindness towards us. And I firmly believe that if you and I are going to add these things to our lives, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5, we may get into it next week, but he talks about adding things to your faith. Faith in itself, and I guess evidently faith in itself isn't enough. We know that things need to be added to it. He said, add to your faith, and listed several different things. And one of those things he listed was brotherly kindness. And we know that love is kind. And we also know that 1 Corinthians 13, that you could have faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. See, things have to be added to your faith. But before we can ever add any of these things to us, before we can start to walk in that kindness and show that kindness, we have got to get a revelation, a deeply rooted revelation of how kind God has been towards us. And that's what every day this week has been about, feeding and filling up on His kindness towards us. And when you do, like Jesus, who for the first 30 years grew in the grace of God on his life, grew in favor with God and men, and at one point, 30 years later, overflowed with it. And John said, we received of His fullness. We received out of that overflow, grace for grace. That's what began to affect people. And when you feed on it, it's going to overflow out of you. And now kindness will be added to you. And that's what's going to begin to affect the people around you. Mercy is kindness, and kindness is drawing power. I want to begin to take this next step in this now that's going to lead us into these next week's broadcast. Look at John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21. If you've heard Brother Copeland preach any time in the last, 12, 18 months, you've heard him preach John 14, 21. This is one of the big ones. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Notice this. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is one of the biggest things Jesus ever said. This was one of the greatest promises Jesus ever made. He said, if you have my commandments and keep them, what is that? That means you take Jesus' word and you put it right up here above anything and everything else, above anybody else's word, above anybody else's opinion, including your own. And you put His word all the way at the top. You have His commandments and you keep them. Jesus, your word is first place in my life. He said, when you do that, that's the one who loves my Father. That's proof of your love for the Father. And the Father will love you, and Jesus will love you and will manifest Himself towards you. He will manifest Himself to you. A manifestation of Jesus. This is what we are after. This is what we should be desiring above anything else. We should be desiring that Jesus be manifest in our body. In our body, yes, healing in our body is a manifestation of Jesus, the healer. In our body, the church you are a part of, that body, that's what you should be after. Pastors, this is what should be number one on your list. And every time you open your mouth to preach the Word of God, it should be with this motivation and this motivation only, to see Jesus in manifestation in this congregation. And we, the body of Christ at large, this needs to be our number one priority. We want to see Jesus manifest in this body, because where Jesus is manifest, the peace of God is manifest. The joy of the Lord is manifest. Our healing is in manifestation. I like the way it says it in the Amplified. Jesus said, I will love him and I will show myself to him. I will reveal, manifest, make myself easily seen by him, make myself known by him, clearly seen. It's a show. Jesus says, I will put myself on display. This is the love show right here. Sometimes people look at church and they look at everything that goes on at church and they say, oh, It's just all a big show. And you know what the answer is? Yes, it is all a big show. And as long as you're going to a church that's got Jesus on display, that's the show you want to see. It's the love show. I will love Him and will show myself to Him. Jesus is God on display. He is the love show. And He's saying, anybody who'll just make my word first place, that's your ticket to the love show. I think back as a little kid and hearing my grandparents say things like, we're going to the movies. They said, come on, let's go to the show. I don't call the movies the show. I call it the movies. But I guess a couple of generations ago, they call it the show. We go into the show. Well, what makes it a show? It means you can see it. It's not a show if you can't see it. If you can't see it, it's not a show. That's what a movie is. If you ever go to a movie and you sit there for 2 hours and don't see anything, go get your money back. You didn't go to the show. You heard it, but you didn't see it. Jesus says, I'm going to manifest myself to Him. I'm going to put myself on display and you're going to see it. It's the love show. Now, with this in mind, go to Romans chapter 12. And while you're looking for that, let me read to you a couple of scriptures that further illustrate this. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, it says, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. This was me. This was you. We were not pretty people. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Oh, did you catch that? When the kindness and love of God appeared, we could see it. When the kindness appeared, that's Jesus appearing. God had been saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. But then He showed it to us when He gave us Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about what God wants to do in the ages to come, that He might show you the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness through Christ Jesus. Kindness is manifested love. Kindness is the part of love that you can see. Now, if you've stayed tuned into this ministry, especially since the beginning of this year, you know we've got this word from the Lord through Brother Copeland that said 2014 is our year of victory over death, and it's the year of manifested love. Love is kind, and the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. He has shown it to us in His kindness. Kindness is manifested love. Romans chapter 12. Look at this. Down around verse 9, it says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. If you know anything at all about God, about Jesus, you know that He has no time for hypocrisy. This is on the list of things He hates. And you go back and you look at what Jesus said over and over to so-called religious people. And He said to them, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you hypocrites. You know what that word woe means? It means this does not turn out good for you. This is impending doom because of their hypocrisy. He said, speaking to them, He said, well, did the prophet Isaiah say of you when he said, you draw near to God with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Did you know that you can actually measure the level of hypocrisy in your life? Just take the measurement between your lips and your heart. Now, of course, I'm not talking about naturally, physically speaking, but just look at the distance between where your heart is and where your lips are. That's the level of hypocrisy in our lives, whatever that distance is. And so what our aim should be is to bring these things together, because the closer our lips, the closer our words get to our heart, that's the closer we get to genuineness. That's the closer we get to authenticity. And I'm telling you right now, this is what I long for more than anything in my life. Now, I'm going to open up to you right now. Daily, I am before the Lord saying, Father, if there's anything in me that is not true, that is not authentic, that is not real, strip it away. Let's get rid of it. I don't want it. And let me just give you this example. Here I am sitting in front of you right now in a television studio in front of cameras and there's lights. It would be very easy to come in here and just kind of put something on, you know? It's like lights, camera, action. And what's so funny about that is when the scripture talked about hypocrites, if you look that up, he was literally referring to people who played parts on a stage. Actors who played on a stage. If I can find it, listen to this definition. A hypocrite. And this is even in the Weiss translation. An actor on the stage of life, playing the role of something they are not. And God has no interest in that. I heard Brother Keith Moore say it like this, God will meet you where you are, but He will not meet you where you pretend to be. Let your love be without hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is saying one thing, doing another. Or it's even this, saying one thing, believing another. Hypocrisy is, I love you, I love you, I love you, but not showing that you love. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Hypocritical love, you know what it is? It's all talk and no show. But love without hypocrisy is saying it and showing it. That's what God did for you. God so loved you. He didn't just love you. He so loved you. I love that little word so. John 3:16, the words of Jesus, God so loved you that He did something about it. He proved it. He gave you Jesus. See, God was not just content to like yell real loud from heaven, hey, I love y'all. That was not what God was about to do. No, through His loving kindness, He said, I love you, and now I'm going to show you. And He gave you Jesus. God so loved you that He proved it in His giving. The greatest expression of love is giving. If love could be expressed in a greater way, that's what God would have done, but it couldn't be. The greatest expression of love is to give. Watch this. Watch what goes on here in Romans 12. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, how do we do this? By being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Skip down to verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. There's that giving. Folks, how do we put love on display? This is what we need. Right now, we need people coming to our churches, coming to our meetings. And we need to be saying, hey, come to the love show. Welcome to the love show. How do we put that love on display? Because it's going to have to be more than just, we love you, good night. No, people know better. And they're not looking for any more hypocritical love. They're looking for the real thing. They're looking for what's genuine. Our love, the love show, is going to be displayed through our kindness. Kindness is manifested love. Right now, go find somebody to give to. I don't care if it's 35 cents. I don't care if it's $3,500. Find somebody to give to. Put it in their hand. And say, welcome to the love show. Amen. I'm out of time on this broadcast, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The 2014 Venezuela Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Maracaibo, Venezuela, September 5th through the 6th. Join Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher for the Living Victory New York Faith Encounter, September 12th through 13th in New York, New York. Word Explosion, September 25th through 27th with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing in Columbia, South Carolina.
Now, most of you know that every Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is Offering Day. This is something the Lord spoke to my grandfather years ago to do, and I think this is perfect that we're talking about this on this day that the Lord has us here at the Love Show. Now, let me read this to you again from Romans chapter 12. This is what we spend our time talking about today. Let love be without hypocrisy. Well, how do we do that? By abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. How do we let our love be genuine? By being kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, because love is patient, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In verse 13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That means making hospitality a priority in your life. This is how we love and mean it. See, if love with hypocrisy is all talk, no show. And this is an opportunity. If you love what God has done for you through the preaching of the Word on this broadcast, through this ministry, if you love and are so thankful to the Lord, this is an opportunity. All this is an opportunity for you to put some show to that, to not just say it, but to show it. And I invite you right now to go before the Lord and say, Father, do you want me to get involved in this offering today? And those of you who are partners and the Lord's led you to do it, you can sow today and you can write on your seed, welcome to the Love Show. And this is you putting kindness on display, because every time you sow into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, what you are doing is distributing to the needs of the saints. It's not just going to the operations here. It's going to reach out and preach the gospel all over the world. And we are inviting people from the top of this world to the bottom and all the way around. We're saying, hey, come to the Love Show. Come find out how good and kind He's been to you. Amen. Partners, thank you. You are a blessing to this ministry. Praise the Lord. Now, if any of you have missed any of the broadcasts this week, go to kcm.org. You can download them absolutely free. You can also do your giving online. Great way to stay in touch. Great way to sow your seed. And stay plugged in with what the Lord's doing through KCM. If you're a partner here, then you know that this ministry has a part to play in what's going on all over the world. Amen. I want to say thank you to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, for allowing me this opportunity. It's such a joy to come into your home. And join me again next week. You don't want to miss this. Amen. Hey, go to church this weekend. Go to the Love Show. And this is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Build your faith and be transformed by the Word of God. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. Continue your studies with this week's product offer. Order your copy today and let these word-based teachings help you live in victory. Receive God's grace abounding toward you and live in the blessing.